Hey there, and welcome to Soul Church. Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life. We've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com. Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
You feeling good today? Yeah, it's so lovely to see you all here, and it's an honor for me to stand here today and, you know, minister the Word of God, because there is nothing like the Word of God that can change us, impact us, transform our lives. And I know as a mom myself, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you feel like you're in the trenches, don't you? You're like, does anyone see me? Does anyone see that I feel overwhelmed? But today you're in the right place because God has a word for you. Can you say, God has a word for me? That doesn't sound convincing. God has a word for me. Okay. All right. Well, that's a little bit better. Again, my husband said that my mom is here. You know, my mom and I, we've been through the wars. But by the grace of God, we've come out the other side. And by the grace of God, my mom is sitting here today, and I can tell you what, when you let go of whatever you're holding on to, whether it's bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, if you let it go and you let God take over that space, He will bring it back so much better. He will bring it back healed. He will bring it back restored. And so today, Mom, I just want to say that I love you, and I'm so blessed to have you in the house today. It's a miracle that we're together again, but to God be the glory. Amen. So I thought I'd just read you a little poem that I found. And it's all about before I was a mom, okay? Somebody say, before I was a mom. Oh, of course, men, you don't have to say that. Before I was a mom, I made and ate hot meals. I had unstained clothing. I had quiet conversations on the phone. Before I was a mom, I slept as late as I wanted, and never worried about how late I got into bed. I brushed my hair and my teeth every day. Before I was a mom, I cleaned my house each day. I never tripped over toys or forgot words to lullabies. Before I was a mom, I didn't worry whether or not my plants were poisonous. I never thought about immunizations. Before I was a mom, I had never been puked on, pooped on, spit on, chewed on, peed on, or pinched by tiny fingers. I had complete control of my mind, my thoughts, and my body. And I slept all night. Yeah, the baby's crying. I know, exactly. Yes, that's what you've done. Before I was a mom, I never held down a screaming child so that doctors could do tests or give shots. I never looked into teary eyes and cried. I never got gloriously happy over a simple grin. I never sat up late hours at night watching a baby sleep. Before I was a mom, I never had a sleeping baby just because I never held a sleeping baby just because I didn't want to put it down. I never felt my heart break into millions of pieces when I couldn't stop the hurt. I never knew that something so small could affect my life so much. I never knew that I could love someone so much. I never knew I would love being a mom. Before I was a mom, I didn't know the feeling of having my heart outside of my body. I didn't know how special it could feel to feed a hungry baby. I didn't know that bond between a mother and her child. I didn't know that something so small could make me feel so important. Before I was a mom, I had never gotten up in the middle of the night every 10 minutes to make sure all was okay. I had never known the warmth, the joy, the love, the heartache, the wonderment, or the satisfaction of being a mom. I didn't know I was capable of feeling so much before I was a mom. Can all the moms say amen? Amen. Amen. Listen, I know that for some of us and for some of you in the room, Mother's Day can be a very, very happy day. You're together with your moms, you're together with your family, and it's a delightful day for you. But I know that many people in this room, it's not a happy day at all. Maybe your heart is broken because your children are not with you today, or your relationship with your mother is non-existent. Perhaps you are here today grieving the loss of a child, or it's the pain of not being able to have a child of your own. I want to tell you today that God sees you. God sees you, and we see you today. Today we have a team here at Soul Church, and they're ready at the welcome lounge out after the service, and they're called Soul Grace, and their heart is to help support those who have experienced a loss of a child. And they want to support you on the journey. Our hearts are with you today. God wants to make the broken things, to take the broken things in our lives and make them beautiful. Do you know that today? If you don't know that, today is the day where you find out that God wants to take the broken pieces of our lives and make them beautiful. Is life hard? Yes. Is it difficult? Absolutely. Are there confusing times? Yes. But God will take all of that pain, all of that, all the hurt, all the tears, and he will turn it into something beautiful. And all throughout scripture, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, there are stories of imperfect people, but mostly imperfect women. Because I'm one of those. I'm very imperfect. My husband will say amen to that. But it's okay. God's not after perfection. There's only one person who is perfect, and that is our God. He is perfect. But how God uses imperfection to bring about extraordinary miracles in the ordinary life. You think about Sarah in the scripture in Genesis when she was too old to have children. She laughed at God when she found out that she was gonna have a baby. But God heard her prayers. She birthed her only son, Isaac, the father of Jacob, the father of Joseph, foreshadows the life of Jesus. You think about Naomi in the book of Ruth, struggled to start over after losing her husband and her two sons. But God answers her prayers. She became the great-grandmother of David, the son of Jesse. You think about Hannah in the scripture in 1 Samuel. She saw everyone else having children. She became a little bit insecure about the fact that she was not able to birth her own child, but God heard her prayers. She birthed Samuel, the prophet, who anointed David as king over Israel, and out of David's line would come the Messiah. How awesome is that? You think about Mary, who was pregnant outside of marriage, but God answered her prayers, removed her shame, and she birthed the Savior of the world. How awesome is that? That God can use the imperfect parts of our life and he can make it into something beautiful. Are you gonna hold on to the promises today for you and for your family and for the future generations? Today, I wanna remind you, not just to the moms or to the women in the room today, but men of God, I wanna remind you today that no matter what the situation looks like, no matter how far you feel like you are from the promise of God, whatever it looks like right now in your life, God is on your side. He is working behind the scenes more than you can realize. So today I want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up when it's tough. Don't give up when people are saying that you can't make it. God can't turn that situation around. Don't give up. I had so many titles swing around my head. I was like, Chantel, it's easy. It's simple. Just tell them, don't give up. Don't give up. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, don't give up. Don't give up. Your miracle's waiting. Your breakthrough's around the corner. Don't give up. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your promises, Lord. I thank you that your Holy Spirit is here, hovering in this atmosphere of faith and expectation. So would you do something mighty in our midst? Would you take those broken pieces of our lives and make them beautiful? We hand it over to you, God. Whatever is out of our control, we surrender it over to you. We thank you that we will not leave here the same way we came in today. We will leave here changed, empowered, equipped, mobilized to go out there and be the change that people need to see in our world. In Jesus' name. Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28. This is where we're gonna read from this text. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to this. If it's on your phone, don't be checking Instagram. Don't be checking Twitter. Don't be checking MySpace, Facebook, whatever else is out there. I don't even know. Anyone have MySpace anymore? No. All the young people are like, what? It's retro. It's old school, guys. Okay, let's go through this text together, shall we? And this is in the NIV translation. And I want to focus, and I want us to focus on this particular story, because I feel like in this story, it has so much power, and when I was reading, it impacted me so much to keep going and don't give up. And you can take this scripture and read it when you get home and ponder on it and meditate on it. Okay, here we go. Matthew 15, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. Whew. Jesus ignores her? Interesting. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." Then the woman came and knelt before him, "Lord, please help me." She said, and he replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." First, he ignores her, and then he calls her a dog. Yeesh. How many of you would have walked away at that point? Okay. "Yes, it is, Lord," she replies. And she said, "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Have you ever been desperate where you're like, "I don't care. Just give me the crumbs. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed." This is this kind of faith that this beautiful Canaanite woman shows us. And then Jesus says to her, can you imagine? This woman keeps on going after Jesus. He ignores her. She's shouting out. She kneels before him. He calls her a dog. And then she says, "I will even eat the crumbs from the master's table." Jesus said to her, "Woman, you of great faith, your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. Do you know that Jesus responds to desperation? When was the last time that you were desperate enough that you were at a place where I'm like, "I don't even care if I have to take the crumbs off the table. I want one touch from Jesus because I know he can heal me. I've heard about his miracles and I believe that he can turn my situation around." When was the last time that you were desperate enough to fall to your knees and plead to the Father and say, "Lord, help me"? This is a story of a woman who couldn't care less about all the politics and divisions in her world. What she did care about was her daughter. This woman had all the odds stacked against her. She was a Gentile, she was a woman, and she was a foreigner. I'd like to think that she was triply marginalized by society. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever felt marginalized? and cut off and shut off because of how you look or the background that you've come from. Her story reminds us of what faith and prayer and love looks like when we are faced with real adversity, personal adversity and opposition. It is a story that brings us back to the basics of what it means to trust in Jesus. The basics of it. So what is it about this Canaanite woman? What is it about her faith that makes it so great? You see, just a few verses earlier in Matthew 14, 31, when Peter was caught in the storm, what did he do? What did he do in the storm? Because we read about Peter walking on the water, but what happened in the storm? What did he do? He took his eyes off Jesus. He took his eyes off Jesus. That's when he started to sink. And what does Jesus say to Peter? He says, he doesn't say to him, "Oh, wow, good job. You walked on the water, Peter. You made it out of the boat, Peter." No, no, no. He said to Peter, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt?" When this woman, this Canaanite woman who was caught in a different type of storm, she stayed focused on Jesus. Have you ever taken your eyes off Jesus and wondering why you're sinking all of a sudden? Have you ever taken your eyes off Jesus and you're going, "Why all of a sudden is everything chaotic? why don't I have peace? Why am I not at rest? What's happening in my world right now?" It's because you took your eyes off Jesus. Because Jesus is the author and he is the perfecter of our faith. So when we keep our eyes on him, he perfects everything in our world that seems imperfect and seems impossible. He turns it into something good and makes it possible. You see, this is the kind of faith that I desire in my life. That I would keep my eyes on Jesus. No matter what the storm looks like, no matter what the situation looks like, no matter what the doctors have told me, I keep my eyes on Jesus. He says to this woman, "Oh, woman, you of great faith." You see, Jesus is our first, and everything else is our second. Did you know that? That Jesus is our first? In Matthew 6, Jesus says this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you." I think we get it twisted sometimes. I think we sometimes think, "Oh, I'll seek my children's best interest first, and I'll seek my career first, and I'll seek my fame first." Don't seek your children first. Seek Jesus. Don't seek your spouse first. Seek Jesus. Don't seek first your dating app. Seek Jesus. Don't seek first your career. Seek Jesus. Don't seek first riches and glory. Seek Jesus. Jesus. What does it say in Matthew 22? Jesus says, "The first and the greatest command is that you love the Lord your God with every part of your life. And then you love your neighbor as you love yourself." Sometimes we get it the wrong way around. And we're trying to fix everything and make everything else better and do everything in our own strength and put other people first. No, 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 no. Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all of these things." Someone say all. That means all. Okay, that means all. Your children, your career, your doctor's report, your all of it. All these things will be added to your life. I love this about the Canaanite woman. She had her eyes on Jesus. Even when she didn't follow his teachings, she didn't actually follow his teachings, but she observed his miracles. You know, there's people in the room today that have never stepped foot in church, We want to say welcome. We're glad that you're here. And you've heard about what's happening here, and you've heard about the miracles and what's taking place in the community. And we're so grateful, just like this Canaanite woman. She didn't follow his teaching, but she observed his miracles. She knew where to find the right one. I pray that you're here today. And at the end of my message, I'd love to give you an invitation to surrender your life to Jesus so that you too can keep your eyes on Jesus, that you won't just observe his miracles, but you will follow his instructions and follow his teachings because he is good and he is faithful. And many people in this room can testify that he can turn the bad and make it good. He can turn our lives around no matter what the situation looks like. Don't give up. Someone say, don't give up. Don't give up. Man, I've been sweating today. I'm not even kidding you. Guys, I'm like, Lord Jesus, please stop my eyes from leaking, but I couldn't stop my armpits from leaking. I know. You want to come hug me after now, don't you? I was like, stop the leaking. Anyways, that's just for free. I just gave that, just throw that away. So what things could change in our lives? What situations could turn around in our lives today if we just fixed our eyes on Jesus? Ask yourself, what could change in my life if I took my eyes off the situation that I really can't fix? If I take my eyes off this problem, this doctor's report, this condition, if I took my eyes off that and I put my eyes on Jesus, what would it look like? You see, there's some amazing qualities that I believe we can learn from this Canaanite woman. She's humble. She was humble enough to kneel before Jesus and say, Lord, help me. She's persistent, right? She keeps going at it. How many persistent moms are in this room? Yes, exactly. Where you're like, I don't care. I'm gonna make this happen. We're gonna keep going. I was raised with that. My mom, she's just like, I don't care. I'm not taking no for an answer. I am not leaving here until we get what we want. She was emotionally intelligent, and she was trusting. So today we're gonna look at three things. We looked at her qualities, but we're gonna look at three things that this Canaanite woman shows us as being necessary to have great faith, and one thing that is not. So what does great faith require from us? What does it require? I'm glad you asked. Number one, great faith requires a great need. If we don't need Jesus greatly, then how can we ever have great faith in him? Reading this amazing book by Pastor Chuck Smith, who he's passed away, but he was the man that we see in the movie, The Jesus Revolution, is just a beautiful man. He writes this book called Why Grace Changes Everything. And it's ministered to me so much over the last few years. But he says this one thing that really has impacted me. He says, our help doesn't come until we realize the answer is far beyond our own resources. Crying out to God is the secret to our deliverance. The secret to our deliverance is crying out to God. And throughout the New Testament, the people who show the greatest faith in Jesus are the ones who need him most. The ones who are poor in spirit. As Jesus himself describes it, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Great faith requires being poor in spirit. I don't mean the kind of like, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I guess I'll go and eat worms kind of poor in spirit. No, that's drawing attention to yourself. The kind of poor in spirit is recognizing that we need Jesus. We need him. Realizing that we don't have it all figured out. We can get it right. We can't get it right on our own. We can't fix ourselves. We can't fix our families. We can't fix our world. On our own, we need Jesus, and we know it. Who needs Jesus today? Do you need him? Like really need him? because great faith requires great need. This woman knew she needed help. Her daughter is being tormented by a demon. I mean, seriously, you can mess with me, that's one thing. You can be rude to me, you can write horrible emails about me, that's one thing. But when you mess with my children, you got another thing coming. You got, moms, you mess with my kid, you mess with me. I learned that from my mom. Guys, I'm not gonna bring her past back into this, but she, you did not mess with this mama. So one time, my brother and I were at a burger place just down the street from our house, my brother put the change on the table, and these three Mexican people came up to us, and one had a knife, and one took off his belt, and the other was standing there ready to rob us from like 5 pounds. I'm like, seriously, 5 pounds? And my brother just said to go get mom. So I ran down the street. It was like 2 miles, right? Ran down the street. I told my mom, mom, someone's got a knife at Joey. They're gonna kill him. They're gonna hurt him. Oh, my mom's like, oh, heck no. She had no shoes on. She is running through the middle of an alleyway where there's glass and there's bits on the floor. This like this lioness is roaring, ready to. I'm not gonna tell you what happened after, but let's just say those people paid a hard lesson for messing with her kids. It's a new day. She's like, why do you do that? I didn't tell you the details, okay? You can work that out on your own. What happens when what you hate is in what you love? Her daughter is being tormented by a demon. We hate demonic oppression. We hate sin because God hates it. But what happens when it's in what you love? I'm sick and tired of the enemy messing with our children, messing with their minds, messing with their identity, messing with their future, messing with their destiny. I'm tired of it. And we as moms and dads and men and women of God, we gotta take our stand and start roaring like that lion. Start, you know, the enemy is like he's like a lion. He's a counterfeit. He's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But when the children of God rise up and when they take their rightful place, we are from the lion of the tribe of Judah. We do not have to hold back. We do not have to just step back and let everything happen. We can take our place and keep fighting in the spirit, keep warring in the heavenlies, because one day it will turn around. And God will get the glory, and all will be vindicated. And I've been declaring this over my life in 2024, and I'm declaring over you, people of God. I'm declaring it over your family. I'm declaring over your situation. Listen to this. You are lion-hearted. The things God has given you to do are not for the timid, but the Lord has given you bravery and courage to do them. You will enter into this battle with confidence because you were made for this. You were created to war in the spirit and level mountains. Say, I'm lion-hearted. That's not a roar. I am lion-hearted. I am lion-hearted. I am not timid. I am full of bravery. And courage. If you want to reference that, it's in Proverbs 28 and Zechariah 4. And you keep declaring it over your life. People of God, you were not timid. You were made for this. There's bravery and courage inside of you. I'm not going to let the government tell me who my children are. I'm not going to let society put a label on them and tell them that's your lot. How dare the enemy mess with my children? We got to fight in the spirit and level mountains. This part is called spiritual warfare. When we realize we cannot fix it, we can't fix our children, We can't fix our family in the natural, but we call on a God who is faithful to fix them, to heal them, to change them, to transform them from the inside out. Where are the lion hearts in the room today? Let me hear you roar. Let me hear you roar. Ephesians 6:12 says this. If you've been fighting with your children, if you've been fighting in the natural with people, if you've been fighting in the wrong places, because this is a spiritual battle. We love our children. We care for them. We tend to their needs. We push them towards their destiny. We don't shut them out and say, well, you got a demon in you, so I guess you're all demoned out. No, no, no. God loves people. He hates sin. So we gotta love people back to Jesus. Love our children back to wholeness. Ephesians 6:12 says this, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So take a look at what happens when the lion heart roars.
I don't know where you are, devil, but I know you can hear me. You have played with my mind and had your way long enough. No more. You are done. Jesus is the Lord of this house. And that means there's no place for you here anymore. So take your lies, your schemes, and your accusations and get out in Jesus' name. You can't have my marriage. You can't have my daughter. And you sure can't have my man. This house is under new management. And that means you are out. And another thing, I am so sick of you stealing my joy, but that's changing too. My joy doesn't come from my friends, it doesn't come from my job, it doesn't even come from my husband. My joy is found in Jesus. And just in case you forgot, he has already defeated you. So go back to hell where you belong and leave my family alone.
Woo! Let me hear you roar. That's it. So go back to hell where you belong. You see, the one thing I love about this Canaanite woman is that she has a whatever it takes mindset. That she would humble herself and embarrass herself because of her great need. You see, but need by itself is not enough. It's not enough. Because great faith, number two, requires knowing who will fill that need. You can have great need all you want, but unless you know who will actually fill that need, it changes everything. There's a lot of people in our world who know that they need something, but they don't know exactly what they need. So they try this and they try that, but nothing seems to satisfy. It seems like a lot of our world's attention is focused on what will fill our need. You see, I was given a book not long ago, actually. It's called Breathing Underwater by Richard Rohr. And it's all about spirituality and the 12 steps. It reminds us that we are all addicted in some way, looking to fill empty spaces. And when we learn to identify our addiction, embrace our brokenness, and surrender to God, we begin to bring healing to ourselves and to our world. And in this book, I love it because in this book, you know what I found out? You say, what did you find out? Thank you. I found out that stinking thinking is a universal addiction. Stinking thinking. You see, substance addictions like alcohol and drugs are merely the most visible form of addiction. But actually, we are all addicted to our own habitual way of doing anything, our defenses, and most especially, our patterned way of thinking, or how we process our reality. We are all addicted to something. What are you filling the empty spaces with? You see, you cannot heal what you first don't acknowledge. You cannot heal what you first don't acknowledge. So today, I'm giving you an opportunity to call it out. Call it out. What's my addiction? It may not be drugs. It may not be alcohol. Maybe it's gambling. Maybe it's pornography. What is it? Call it out. 22 years ago, I called out my addiction. And it wasn't drugs, and it wasn't alcohol. You want to know what my addiction was? I was addicted to lying and stealing. I grew up just telling lies all the time and stealing things that didn't. Look, I wasn't a bank robber, okay? I didn't rob banks. But I lied and I stole from people. I took things that didn't belong to me. I lied about the most ridiculous things. Found myself in this web of destruction. And 22 years ago, when I went to Bible college and I finally faced up and I called it out, because you know what? I almost lost everything and everyone that I loved. It wasn't until my friend came into my room when I had left for the night and I spent the night at another friend's house, and I'd been telling my friend when I borrowed her stuff that I lost it. And half of her wardrobe was gone until she's going, wait a minute, you couldn't have lost half of my wardrobe. But I was hiding it under the mattress. I'm being very honest. I have not shared this. I'm being very honest and real. No, this is really ridiculous, isn't it? But my friend stood there with all of her clothes looking at me, and I'm like, I'm busted. I was at Bible college, people. You know you can love Jesus and still have addictions? But that's where great need needs to be filled with him. Because when we acknowledge that we need help, and when we acknowledge that he's the only one that can fill those empty spaces, we surrender our lives to God. In that very moment, 22 years ago, at Bible college in Sydney, Australia, my friend stood before me, weeping, and saying, Chantel, how could you? And I just remember looking at her, and all I could say was, I'm sorry. But I knew inside that it needed to stop. So I got the help that I needed. I got accountability. I surrendered it all to Jesus. And I am not kidding you. I don't even let anyone's Tupperware stay at my house because I'm like, I'm reminding the enemy, look, I'm not stealing your stuff. So don't think this like she's a thief. No, 20 years ago, God broke the power of addiction over my life. And I'm telling you, if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. Whatever you've been filling the empty space with, God can come through and he can heal you. because the reality was that I felt in control. It always gets to the root of something. I needed control because my world was out of control. I was hurting and broken, and that was the only thing that made me feel in control. So when I surrendered it to God, the power was broken. The dream is free, but the journey is not free. We have to work with God and say to God, I am willing to be obedient to you. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, these weapons can break down every proud argument against God and every wall, every addiction that can be built to keep men from finding him. With these weapons, I can capture rebels and bring them back to God and change them into men whose heart's desire is obedience to Christ. I don't know where you're at today, but God wants to break down some walls. He wants to break down the walls of addiction. He wants to break down the walls of pride. He wants to break down the walls of condemnation and fear. Why? Because he wants to fill the empty spaces in our life. This Canaanite woman has great faith, not just because she is desperate for help, but because she comes to realize that her help can only come from Jesus. Great faith means recognizing our great need and turning to our great Savior. 3, great faith requires persistent trust. I love this about this Canaanite woman. She kept going. She didn't stop. Have you ever turned away at the first no? I know, like, in England, sometimes you're like, no, oh, okay, thank you. I've been taking my mom to the shops and I'm like, I know she's not gonna take no for an answer. Because we don't. As people of God, we keep going. We keep persisting. And we don't hear the answers that we want. We keep going. And we keep asking. And we keep persisting. Did you notice that when this woman first turns to Jesus, he ignores her? Have you ever been ignored? You're like, hello, I'm here. And he doesn't answer her at all at first. Seems strange, hey. Have you ever felt that way when you've prayed? That it's like you're being ignored? And the only answer we seem to hear is silence, which makes it seem as though God is absent. But you know, just because God is silent doesn't mean that he's absent. He's not absent. It may be silent right now, but he's not absent. He's not absent from your situation. He's not absent when you're praying out, asking God for that healing and that miracle. He's not absent. When Jesus responds to her request with silence, she responds to his silence with faith. What are you responding to the silence with? Like, okay, I'm gonna give up. He's not answering my prayer. No. You respond with faith. Even though I'm not hearing you right now, God, I'm gonna keep persisting. I'm gonna keep heading in that direction. I'm gonna keep my eyes on you because I've heard about you. I know that you can perform miracles. I know that you heal the sick. I know that you turn situations around. In the face of silence, she does not give up. She does not turn from Jesus. Instead, she kneels before him. She kneels before Jesus and says, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. My daughter is demon-possessed. She's being tormented. You know what this is? This is worship on another level. What's your posture like today, people of God? What's your posture like, moms? Are you just angry at everyone? And we talked about hospitality. You're just like telling everyone off because you want everything in order and you want to make sure that you look like the happy family. Or is your posture, God, help me. God, help me. I don't know what to do. These kids are driving me crazy. God, help me. My marriage is struggling. And everything I'm trying in the natural seems to make it worse. God, help me. I heard that you change things. I heard that you turn situations around. I heard that you perform miracles. So will you help me? This is worship. This is what worship looks like when his people are humbled before him. People that are called by his name humble themselves and pray and seek his face. He will turn to them. He will hear from heaven and heal our land. What is your posture like? What is your posture like? Alma, I love your posture. You are a woman of worship. When everything has seemed to be going wrong and your prayers haven't seemed to be answered, you are a persistent woman of God. You bless my heart, Alma. What's your posture like? What's your posture like? What's your posture like, people of God? What's your posture like? Mom, I saw you when you were raising all of us kids on our own, and it was hard, and no, you would admit that it was not a perfect situation, but I remember hearing you crying in your room, asking God to help you, because you were trying to figure it out, and you were trying to learn, and it was hard, but your posture is worship before the Father. What's your posture like, people of God? Are you willing to humble yourself before the Lord and say, I can't do this. I can't do this. I need God to fill it and fill those empty spaces. Son of David, have mercy. Son of David, have mercy. Have mercy. When was the last time that you ran to the mercy seat of God? Are you running to the seat of the scornful, hanging around with negative people that are just pulling you down, talking bad about the church, talking bad about leaders and pastors? Or are you running to the mercy seat of God, saying, I don't know how to fix this, so I need mercy. I need mercy. Someone say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Great faith does not give up, but persists even when there seems to be little reason to do so. Ask, Jesus says in Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open to you. It will be open. Son of David, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy on me, Lord, when I don't get it right. Have mercy on me when I'm just trying to figure it out. I need you to fill the spaces in my life. I will stay persistent to the end. Great faith, as this Canaanite woman shows us, requires great need. Great faith requires us knowing who will fill that need. Great faith requires persistent trust in God, even when it doesn't seem to be responding to our prayers. But there is one thing that great faith does not require. Great faith does not require our worthiness. Great faith does not require our worthiness. When this woman finally gets Jesus' attention, he gives her an answer she doesn't want to hear. He says to her, I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. And she was not one of the lost sheep. It was not in the right order yet. She was a Canaanite, not a Jew. She worshiped the wrong God. And Jesus' mission was not yet for people like her. Not till after the resurrection, when it would be for all people. But not yet. Not there. By telling the Canaanite woman that she isn't worthy, and and then answering her prayer? Jesus is telling us that it is not about our worthiness. It never was. It's about grace. It's all about grace. The simple gift of God's love given to us all by God's Son. Three amazing men of God, and I was reading about grace. They wrote these beautiful quotes, and I want to read them to you about the grace of God. Rick Warren says this: in God's garden of grace, even a broken tree can bear fruit. Craig Rochelle writes this: there is no sin too great for God's grace. There is no habit too big for His healing. There is no label too strong for His love. Kenneth Copeland writes this: grace is God's overwhelming desire to treat you as if you had never sinned. Can someone say thank you for grace? God, thank you for your grace, this amazing grace. Great faith doesn't rely on our worthiness, but it's also not stopped by our unworthiness. Great faith relies on God. Nothing more and nothing less. Do you want to be people of great faith? Do you? I do. So what's the secret? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Would you stand to your feet today? Someone say, don't give up. Turn to the person that you turned to earlier and say, don't give up. Don't give up. He's here. He's here. He's ready to meet you right where you are. You've listened brilliantly, and I hope this word ministered, because I'm telling you, man, you can go and read this portion of scripture because it has so much to unpack. And this is what the Word of God does. The Word of God is alive and it is active. And the Bible says that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it cuts between bone and marrow. It divides the thoughts and the intentions of our heart and our lives. So are you willing to be open to Jesus today? Do you see, reading about this Canaanite woman, I said it earlier, but she was not a follower of Jesus. She was not. And I know many of you in this room today, you've been invited by your friend. Maybe you were invited by your mother or a child. Maybe you just came because you heard that Soul Church was open and we had a great cafe. We do. But we're glad you're here today. And we don't finish a service without giving people an opportunity to meet with Jesus. Because ultimately, He's the one that can fill the empty spaces in your life. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what life has looked like. I don't know whether or not you've even been to church in the past or not. I don't know, but God does, and He sees you. He sees you right where you are, from here on the floor seats to way at the top where you're in the dark and I can't see you. God sees you. There's no accident that you're here today. It's not an accident. God has a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. And all you have to do is invite Him into your life, because one, we have great need. And two, we have to acknowledge that Jesus is the only one that can fill that need. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, we want to give people the opportunity today. It's not to embarrass you. We actually want to connect you to a source that is way greater than yourself. A God that can heal you, a God that can restore you, a God that can mend the broken pieces of your life and turn it into something beautiful. If you didn't know, now you know. If you're in the room today and you're saying, I've been hearing about this Jesus and what He can do for even someone that doesn't follow His teachings, He wants to do that for you today, wherever you are. If you would like Him to invite Jesus to come and truly fill the empty spaces in your life, all it takes is you surrendering your life to Jesus and saying yes to him. Wherever you are, I'm going to give you an opportunity. If that's you and you want to invite Jesus into your life today, why don't you just slip up your hand right now, in this moment. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, slip it high. Thank you. He sees you. He sees you. Thank you. He sees you. He sees you. You are lion-hearted. You are lion-hearted. You are lion-hearted. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray this prayer together as a church family, but you pray this because it's for you. Make it personal today. Jesus, come into my life. So would you repeat this with me? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me, to forgive all my sin and failures, for dying for me. Thank you that you give me a purpose. Thank you that you give me hope. You forgive all my sin and failures so that I can have a brand new start. Please come into my life and be the Lord and be the Savior of my life. I invite you, I receive you, and I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on. Come on, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. We celebrate. And if you made that decision today, our team would love to connect with you after the service. And on our street, our team will be there and they'll be holding this portion of the Bible, and it's the book of Mark, and it will help you on your journey of finding out exactly who Jesus is for you and how he can change your life and impact you. All right, church, have you been challenged? Are you ready to roar? Are you ready to confess the right things? Are you gonna give up? Are you gonna quit? Are you going to keep going? Are you going to stay persistent? Are you going to keep knocking? Are you going to keep asking? Are you going to keep seeking? Come on, lift up your hands to heaven. I'm going to pray that God fills every empty space in your life. I don't know what you filled it with. I don't know what the situation looks like at home. I don't know what it looks like in your job. I don't know what it looks like in your marriage and what it looks like in your relationships with your children and your relationship with your parents. I don't know, but God knows. And he will fill the empty spaces of your life. Jesus said to this woman, "Woman, you of great faith, you of great faith, people of God," he's saying to you today, "you, man of God, you woman of God, you of great faith, you of great faith. Do you know that you need Jesus? Do you know that he can fill the empty spaces? Do you acknowledge that he is the only one that can heal you, fix you, change you, transform you? Then you begin to say, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Come on. Begin to say it. You say it. Call it out. Whatever addiction is holding you back, call it out. Call it out. This woman was embarrassed, but she knew that even in her embarrassment, she would get her breakthrough. So call it out. What is the addiction? We call out pornography. You have no place. We call out addiction to substance. You have no place. We call it out. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of knowing him. Anything that exalts itself, we break it down. We break its power in the name of Jesus. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives, Lord God. We pray, Father, that you would continue to make this people of great faith, that we would roar in the face of adversity, that we would roar against the enemy's schemes and strategies, that we would say no to the devil, and we will say yes to Jesus. Thanks again for tuning in.
If you said yes to Jesus today by saying the salvation prayer, we'd love for you to email connections@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision you've just made. And if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, head to soulchurch.com. And don't forget to stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching @soulchurchuk. Take care and God bless.